Hi, I'm really clear.
So tell us, what was your reaction when you heard about Attorney General Nessel's request for a temporary shutdown?
So first of all, I'm really proud of our Attorney General. I served on her transition team. And so she has demonstrated that she's good to her word. And so I really appreciate that. I think more comprehensive look at this Enbridge in their self-regulatory environment. There have been anchor strikes. There have been threats to the environment. And there's really kind of a piecemeal approach to addressing their self-regulatory environment. So we need an overhaul, and we need to have a much more progressive approach to making sure that our natural resources are protected.
You know, for those who may just be coming to this, the tribe has really been calling for a shutdown for years. Can you lay out a little bit of the context that informs how you think about this?
Absolutely. So our treaty rights are very important to us. We don't consider ourselves stakeholders. We consider ourselves to have a right to our natural resources and our fish. It is in our worldview that we protect our natural resource. We're not separate from it. We depend on it. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was invited to a press conference where we were pushing the state to produce the easement, the original easement. At the time, they had no idea where it was. It took them about 9 months to find it. And then they found the conditions of the anchors that were in easement. Come to find out that 20% of those anchors were never installed. And so it's just untenuous that we're continuing to have this fight for a company that has not operated in good faith.
In the course of our conversation with Aaron Payment, we had a dropout on the Zoom line that we started out with. So we decided to continue via phone. Here's the rest of the conversation. Had you received any specific information about the incident on the east leg anchor support on the existing pipeline that caused a shutdown last week?
Yes, actually, I just got off of a call with the Chippewa-Ottawa Resource Authority, which is the 5 1836 treaty tribes. We've been very critical of the state's handling of the relationship with Line 5 and the deferential approach. Our conclusion intertribally is that it's not acceptable to hear about this information in the media before we're notified from the governor's office. When the anchor strike happened the last time, we impressed upon the governor's office, and that was a different governor, but we're now with this governor, that we have different expectations to be notified, not as stakeholders, but as a shared resource under a treaty right. And unfortunately, we got the call from the governor's office after it was throughout the media. And so what I don't know is if Enbridge failed to notify the governor's office such that we heard it shortly after the governor's office heard, or if the governor was in possession of the information and just got around to letting us know after the media published information. So it's not acceptable as a shared treaty right for us to hear about it in the media.
Beyond the information about the East Leg anchor support, the state of Michigan certainly was upset to find out that the company had resumed operations without notifying them. Enbridge has put out the rationale that the problem was initially discovered through regular scheduled maintenance, and that shows that the company's efforts to keep an eye on the pipeline are indeed working out. Could you foresee, if the company was more forthcoming and transparent with information, a working Line 5 that you could live with?
So the problem with the premise of the question is it's still predicated on Enbridge being willing to do something. And I think that, you know, there's ebbs and flows in policy, environmental policy, and regulating such a very serious threat to our environment should not be at the benevolence of a private company, a private international company, not an American company, that supplies oil primarily to Canada and not to America. And so it's just unacceptable that they could restart the flow of oil without notifying the governor in advance. And I just don't find that acceptable. I don't think Michigan citizens find that acceptable. I think the threat to our environment is so great. I remind people that if a spill happens, we will not be able to claim to be pure Michigan when all of the tributaries and the natural wildlife and the fish and all of that is destroyed, and it will be destroyed for decades before it can be returned to its pre-spill ecology. And that will hit the tourism industry and our revenues. And so this is much bigger than just an environmental concern or just an Indian naturalist concern. It's going to hit everybody's pocketbook, because when all of those businesses shut down, all of us in Michigan that pay taxes will be called upon to cover the unemployment expenses and the damages that are caused.
The recent history of the pipeline shows a pattern in which company operations go forward. There have been a couple of issues in which either the tribe or the state of Michigan have found out belatedly about problems, have asked the courts for redress, and then the company resumes operation. Do you see any realistic way of breaking the pattern that has repeated over the past couple of years?
Yeah, so I just want to give you one example. When the anchor strike happened several years ago under a different governor, we have a liaison with the governor's office that would communicate with us on a monthly basis. And we asked some pointed questions of that liaison, and the response back was, well, we'll have to check with Enbridge. We'll have to check with Enbridge. That's the same regulatory environment that we're in. And so the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And, you know, I support our governor. I support our attorney general. But we're still operating in an environment where we are in a deferential. The citizens of Michigan are in a deferential relationship with this private company. And it's not acceptable for us to continue to allow a private company to have dominion and authority over whether they shut the pipeline down or whether they reopen the pipeline. And I don't have a lot of hope that the Michigan legislature is going to do anything. So I do have a lot of hope in our attorney general that legal filings might result in something different. But it can't continue this way, because the threat is just too great to both those who enjoy the treaty right, that is an enduring legal right in the courts, but also to all the stakeholders and all of Michigan citizens who, you know, when we look at the polls are strongly in favor of shutting down Line 5 or ensuring that we are in a regulatory environment that protects our natural resource. So it's time for us to listen to the citizens and everybody who is a stakeholder and those who have treaty rights for what's at risk.
There have been two sort of ongoing lines of argument between Michigan and Enbridge right now. One concerns what you mentioned, the 1953 easement that allowed Line 5 to operate, and you outlined what the tribe would like for the state to look at for that. And then there's also the 2018 law that allowed Enbridge to tunnel under the lake and replace Line 5. What does your experience tell you might be a more likely avenue to pursue at this point?
So one of the deficiencies in the structure that we're operating under is there is no central watchdog that is second-guessing the information. Again, it's a deferential sort of relationship with Enbridge. Eagle should be that, or if there needs to be legislation to enact that. But the concept of a tunnel is a red herring. The tribes, as natural environmentalists and ecologists, natural stewards of the land, we know what's at stake, and we perceive the earth as our mother, and Nibi, or our waters, are sacred to us. And so, so our environmental directors are experts at the tribes, and they're scientists. Our environmental director, Kathy Brosmer, is working on her PhD right now. And so we rival the science that the state has at their fingers. And except we don't have the bias of political whims this way or that way. And so our environmental directors, MTEG, worked collectively to pull all the information they could to get a sense of what this threat is and whether or not a tunnel is even feasible. It is our estimation that a tunnel is not feasible. There is a 0.4-mile crevasse right in the middle of the straits that make it impossible for this tunnel to be constructed. I've been saying that all the way through, and I think that it's an excuse for Enbridge to pump and pray and hope that nothing happens. But even if a spill happens, their liability insurance is such that this is the normal course of business. Once a spill happens, they'll pay damages, and we will have to litigate. Michigan will have to litigate in order to recover damages that are caused. It's pennies on a dollar. We watched this happen in Enbridge, so a tiger doesn't change his stripes, in Line 6. And it took about 10 years of litigation, and the damage was done, and it's going to be about 100 years before we go back to the pre-spill ecology. And so we know through our scientists at the tribes collectively that this tunnel is not feasible. This is a red herring. It's a diversion tactic, and we should not give it any more credence.
Aaron Payment is chairperson for the Sioux Tribe of Chippewa Indians, and he's been speaking to us from his office today. Aaron, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.